Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 50 Texas Democrats remain AWOL from Austin, refusing to vote on a new map of the state's congressional districts. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The congressional map is not linked to presidential races. Instead, it's usually tied to the once-a-decade census. Still, the president pushing for a new Texas map to give Republicans 5 new seats in Congress. But a vote can't happen without Democrats present, and dozens have fled the state. Texas Governor Abbott has already threatened to arrest them. Now he's calling on the state Supreme Court to remove the top Democrat, Gene Wu, from office.
Gene Wu telling ABC News those seats do not belong to Donald Trump, they belong to the American people. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy pulling $500 million in funding for vaccines that are developed using mRNA technology. Sources say Vice President J.D. Vance is expected to host top administration officials tonight for a strategy session on the Epstein files. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for Lisa Hale. The Appleton International Airport is celebrating its 60th year, but it's really taken off just in the last decade. A study released yesterday shows an estimated economic impact of the airport of just under $2 billion last year. The airport broke another record. It served more than 1 million passengers. Appleton International is the third largest airport in Wisconsin based on arrivals and departures. More and more sheriff's offices across Wisconsin are making deals with ICE. Under some of these programs, local law enforcement can essentially operate as immigration authorities. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
The ACLU says 3 years ago, 8 Wisconsin counties were signed on to this program. While 7 more have joined just since President Donald Trump took office, now 13 counties across Wisconsin have formal 287G agreements with ICE. Last week, we reported that at least 3 sheriff's departments across the state have signed agreements with ICE to house people before deportation. Before that, the only ICE detention facility in Wisconsin was Dodge Detention in Juneau. The ACLU report shows that ICE has requested more than 3,000 detainers in Wisconsin over the last 4 years. When honored, those detainers allow someone to be transferred directly to ICE from local sheriff's departments without a warrant signed by a judge. It's optional, but most Wisconsin sheriffs choose to honor them. The Dane County Sheriff's Office does not, which recently drew the ire of the Department of Homeland Security.
Almost all of the 13 counties with agreements are in northeastern or central Wisconsin. Outagamie County entered its agreement with ICE in May. Winnebago County signed its agreement in March. I'm Shally Pittman for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
Another Brewers victory.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series with the Braves in Atlanta. Milwaukee winning again last night, 7-2. Manager Pat Murphy says now the games get tougher.
You know, this is a game that easily, you know, when the other team leaves 14 on base and only scores 2 runs, they certainly didn't get the big hit. So we were fortunate. We got to look at that as, oof. You know, we're fortunate to take advantage of some walks, but that's who we are.
NFL, the Packers signed Nate Hobbs to a 4-year contract worth over $48 million, but he's not going to be in any preseason games. The defensive back says he needed surgery on his right knee after colliding with a teammate in practice last week.
I think it was Thursday's practice. It was a play. It was a collision. It was like slight little minor bump. I felt like I always, you know, something I always get. Somebody ran into me. But it turned out to be something deeper than that. So.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
It's 64 at our studios.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress. For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife. But she says, I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnitt and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Deandra Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, August 6th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Brittany, we were talking about the musical Hamilton opening 10 years ago today. Have you seen it? Are you a Hamilton fan?
I have not seen it. No, okay. But I would love to. I would love to.
You would love it. What I learned over the news break here is that Parker here, he was in high school when this musical was peaking, and makes a unique claim about his knowledge of Hamilton. And that claim, Parker, would be?
I'm pretty sure I know just about every word to that entire show, I think.
And so, since we don't have a guest for, you know, another 28 minutes or so here, we're now going to turn the show over to Parker. That's and true. He's going to recite Hamilton, yeah. The clean, take out all the naughty words.
Something like a two.
Take it away, buddy. How does a, oh, wait, see, we, never mind. In the very first line, there's words we can't say. So I guess we'll just have to go to weather instead.
How does a, oh, yeah. No,
yeah,
actually, yeah.
See? Mm. Yeah, you got it.
Like the first line.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. We'll come back to it.
Shoot.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll workshop this. In the meantime, we have been talking about the wildfire smoke, which, by the way, the advisories for at least parts of Wisconsin, this is the 23rd day, I believe, of advisories exceeding the record from 2023. Not a record you really want to break, but we do appear to be on the tail end of it, Brittany.
Oh, let's hope so. It kind of went backwards this morning. Areas that aren't even in an air quality alert are seeing some of the highest levels throughout the state right now. Just south of Madison, you're in a red unhealthy level at the moment. It's orange, unhealthy for sensitive, pretty much all throughout central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and all of eastern Wisconsin. Still seeing that wildfire smoke, that fog, that thick haze out there. Hopes are that by this afternoon, it should clear the entire state. We've got winds starting to move out of the south. They're starting to get feisty. So they should gust around 15 to 20, hopefully, miles per hour this afternoon, kicking out that air mass and bringing in a new one. But the new one comes with rain, more humidity and mugginess, and of course, hot temperatures as we push towards the weekend. So changing weather patterns completely here as the jet stream starts to lift north. We are looking at a low pressure just off to the west that is wrapping in a warm front to the western parts of the state right now. So that's where those south winds are coming from. And today we are going to hit the low to mid 80s. So getting a little bit warmer there. We will become mostly cloudy because we do have rain on the way. Light rain and drizzle is possible today, kind of working its way throughout the state. And then overnight, we got another round coming through with some more scattered showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder. No severe weather to worry about just yet. And of course, as we go into tomorrow, highs will be in the low to mid 80s. And we've got the mugginess seeping in at that point. It's going to get very hot and humid. Temperatures nearing 90 degrees on Friday and Saturday. and dew points in those 70s. So it's going to be feeling closer to those mid to upper 90s. And then the cold front hits. That'll be Saturday and into Sunday. That's where the severe weather chance moves in and some heavy rain that could cause some flash flooding.
Ooh, so much to watch over the next few days here.
Yes.
Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob on YouTube. It's partly cloudy with light fog and 58 degrees, still very smoky. Yesterday, I got 4 yards mowed west of Tigerton and had no breakdowns, which is something we always like to see. I went to the Tigerton Library after work to get the latest information on Highway 29 plans to put into my Highway 29 scrapbook, and then had tacos sponsored by Tigerton Main Street Incorporated. Yesterday was his sister Debbie and her husband Kevin's 30th wedding anniversary. Some lawns to mow and then a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And here's a traffic update from Tigerton. Beginning August 11th, there will be road work along 29 westbound between the Wolf River Bridge and the Highway 22 interchange. It'll be down to one lane in each direction, and the Highway 22 interchange ramps will be closed until late October.
Ooh,
take note.
Wow.
I know.
Jeez.
We would do more of these, but given what construction season is like in Wisconsin, that would take the whole 3 hours. So we're just going to put them in from the Tigerton area. If you want to add your own to the comment section, that's fine as well. Hey, Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right. Reminder that you can always sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, including our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. And we have a question of the week this week that asks, how should blue states respond to the red state gerrymandering going on in Texas? Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network later today, well, of course, you've got Matinee on Air, which follows this program from 9 to 11. Political strategist Joe Zepecki will be joining Jane and Greg just after 9:30. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Again, Darren Von Ruden, not to be confused with Derek Van Orden, the congressman, who is decidedly not working in line with things the way the Wisconsin Farmers Union is. The Todd Alba Show is on from 2 to 4 this afternoon, and I'll be making an appearance there in the 2 o'clock hour, and maybe Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project. I know that he is traveling, so he may or may not be checking in. He's so far away right now that we may actually have him on this show tomorrow morning, Trygve Olson, because we can't get him to wake up at 7 a.m. in Wisconsin, but it'll be well past that where he is. So we might have a Trygve Olson sighting, if not this afternoon, then tomorrow. And then Jim Santel is the guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hey, Pete Schwabba's got a couple of guests this evening as well. At 6:30, he'll catch up with musician and photographer Chris Rogowski, and then Madison film critic Rob Thomas at 7:20. So much to see, so much to hear across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can see more over at their website, civicmedia.us. We've been talking more sports lately than we otherwise normally would. That's what happens when your team is on another winning streak. This one is 5 games after the Brewers beat up on Atlanta again last night, 7-2. So the winning streak is at 5. The lead over the Cubs is now 4, a 4-game lead in the National League Central Division. Freddie Peralta went 5 innings, giving up only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs, and he extended his hitting streak to 11, matching his career high. And National League Rookie of the Year candidate Isaac Collins drove in 2 runs on 2 hits. Jose Quintana will start Game 3, and once again, pregame at 5:40 this evening on several Civic Media stations. Then a travel day tomorrow as the Brewers come home and will have a weekend series against the Mets. Do we think the radio station tickets for the Brewers, those nice club seats, do we think they're all probably all snapped up by now? Right?
I do believe they're all snapped up. It was whenever you were here, so like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think I asked Luke for some tickets, might have been for this weekend, and he said, no, how about the end of the
month? About no?
Yeah. How about no? Slim pickings, I believe, is the term.
That's what happens if you want to go to a White Sox game. I mean, there's there's tickets. If you want to go to a Twins game, it's already tough enough to be a fan of a sports team that is not doing well. in the social media era, you at least can laugh through the tears. The memes that have been put up, the TikTok videos that have been put up by Twins fans after the ownership had a fire sale, you know, last week. I mean, what was it? 10 out of the 26 players were traded away in some way, shape, or form. So you've got like the, you know, the John Travolta one from Pulp Fiction, where I think it's Pulp Fiction. He's just looking around the room, like looking. Is anybody here? And of course, they put him in Target Field, looking around. Is anybody here from this team? You've got from The Fresh Prince, when Will Smith comes down, you know, into the family home, and like all the furniture is gone and everybody's gone. Like, where did they go? No shortage of movie clips that point out just how hard it is to be a Twins fan this year anymore.
I feel bad. Good baseball's fun.
We don't have to feel bad.
No, I don't care about. Here are the teams I don't like. The Cubs and the Cardinals.
Oh, well, that's a short list.
I think, as far like that I care about not liking, those are the only ones. Yeah. I don't love the Yankees. But
I think the only team I would say I don't like in baseball would be the White Sox, because they had is he still there? Is he gone now? That announcer of theirs. Hawk Harrelson or something like that. I mean, just it was him and another announcer. And it's just that, you know, that Chicago tough guy thing where they just dump on all the other teams. They can't just call the game. They always felt the need to punch down back when they thought they were all tough. And then, of course, the White Sox, you know, before the Brewers were big rivals with the Cubs, the Brewers were in the American League.
Yeah.
And it was the White Sox games that got particularly nasty. I mean, in the couple of years before the Brewers switched from the American to the National League, those games, I'm not saying they were all bench-clearing brawls, but, you know, they got to be tense at times.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And either way, you had to put up with Chicago fans coming up to Milwaukee. Yeah. And that's a thing.
That is a whole thing. Chicago sports fans are an interesting breed.
You know what, though? Over time, I mean, we used to say this about Bears fans, too, but, you know, when you spend enough time in the basement, you're eventually a little bit more humbled when you're able to, you know, come out of the basement and meet up with the rest of the folks. Bears fans have been better behaved. I'm not going to say well behaved. Don't get me wrong. Okay. Here, but they've been better behaved. Roger putting up on Facebook here. Hawks partner was Tom Pachorik. Yeah, it was him. And there was it John Rooney for a while was with them as well. Anyway, they were just so
Southside.
Yeah. So not fun to listen to. So for the Brewers to be having the kind of year that they're having, especially this lead up on the Cubs, if it can maintain, it's just going to make things that much sweeter. Plenty of things to see over at CourierNewsroom.com, Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. For example, there's Mark Jacob, who joins us on Friday mornings. He also has the Stop the Presses newsletter. You can also see it at stopthepresses.news. And this week in his newsletter, he says, will journalism become impossible in the U.S.? Trump's war on the free press is following the foreign dictator's playbook. And he outlines that. Let's see. We also have our friend Jennifer Scholze, who has a newsletter on Substack. You can find her newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, on Substack by searching for @NewsJennifer. She is talking about the Paramount merger with Skydance and its takeover of CBS. And in her newsletter this week, she says, a CBS investigative piece on the Epstein jail video broke important new ground. Under its new mega mandate, that story might never be allowed. And so you can look for that again from our friend Jennifer Scholze. And then back on Courier Newsroom on YouTube, go to youtube.com and then put in Courier HQ. And look for the series, How Is This Better, with Akilah Hughes. And again, this one is about the Trump media takeover and why Americans are increasingly split into the informed and the manipulated. So all that and more to find over at CourierNewsroom.com. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we come back, we'll have this week's homeroom segment. We'll be talking to folks from Green Bay, from the school board, from the city council, about the ways that they created better taxpayer transparency when it came to the cost of voucher schools and how you can do that in your community as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
Hi, I'm David Rucker, Vice President of Retail Banking at Bank First. At Bank First, we understand that every home buyer has unique needs. That's why we offer a wide range of mortgage solutions to fit your lifestyle and goals. Building your dream home, our construction to permanent loans offer one-time closing and interest-only payments during construction. First-time buyer, veteran or active duty military. Purchasing in a rural area, we have a solution. Need assistance with upfront costs? Our Down Payment Plus program offers up to $10,000 in forgivable grants for eligible buyers. At Bank First, we're committed to guiding you through every step of your home ownership journey. Let's find the right mortgage solution for you. Check us out at bankfirst.com. Bank First, your partnership in home ownership. NMLS 13930, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases, from wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care. Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton. Here is Lisa Hale with this morning's Valley Focus.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and joined today, because it's Wednesday, I've got Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Herald with me. If somebody wanted to pick up a copy of the Herald or wanted to check it out on the website, what is the website?
The website's oshkoshherald.com. And if you're looking for it out on a newsstand, we're at about 40 locations around town. You can find us at most Quick Trips, BPs, grocery stores, at their customer service counters, but you should be able to find us there. But I would say hurry up and go look quickly, because they do go fast. It is online right now. So if you want to go check it out, oshkoshherald.com.
What's in the Oshkosh Herald this week?
There's so much good stuff in there. I'm just saying, not that I'm, you know, biased or anything.
Maybe
so,
a little bit.
I get accused of that. The first thing is their initial plans for a new home development coming in. We always talk about housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're, an Oshkosh developer is looking at building 91 new single family homes in the southeast corner of the city over by Clairville Road and 20th. This is Chet Wiesenberg from Wiesenberg Homes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the initial steps to it, right? But it would go in three phases, 30 homes per phase. The city and the builder are talking right now about who's going to pay for a gravel road that connects it to Clairville, and they'll get that all sorted out before they get to the next phase where it goes back before the plan commission. But this, again, we have apartments coming in. We hear a lot of that, right? There's so many apartments.
We have a lot of apartments coming
in. And they're getting built, which is fabulous as well, because it took a while for that. But now this is another development bringing 90 homes into the Oshkosh area, which will be part of Casey Meadows subdivision.
Okay.
So if you can picture where that is, just past YMCA out there off of 20th. So first steps first, but it's encouraging to see that, yes, a single family development is working and looking at being built out there. And I believe they're looking at 2026, which will when it goes, but it's 31 acres. And the average lot size will be 10,000 square feet. So it's similar to the homes that are already built out there.
Okay, that's good. Then it'll kind of stay with the neighborhood and stay with that feel.
Exactly. So that's exciting because we need homes. Right. We need housing.
The housing shortage is something that's affecting every community throughout Northeast Wisconsin, not just Oshkosh. But
it's national.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And I don't know I don't think anyone knows the answer to it. Otherwise, we would have fixed it, right? But there are projects out there that are looking at putting those homes that are needed in each community. And I forget the number because there was a study that was done that's talked about how many units were going to be needed in Winnebago County in Oshkosh over the next several years.
Right.
And it was a big number.
Yeah.
So whether you're putting apartment complexes in there or building those single family homes, they're all needed. And, you know, there's this circle of life and circle of housing. And, you know, part of it right now is if there's nowhere to downsize to or anything like that, and the price of homes, there's not that cycle that's continuing. You know, right. You have people still living in too large of homes after they're empty nesters because they can't find something right. smaller to move into. Then you have young people who can't afford even an apartment because of the cost of those. So, you know, something needs to right how it should be. And, you know, I don't have the answer to that, but I think as long as there's housing in there and it's, you know, it's supply and demand, right? So if we provide more housing, hopefully some of that starts settling out that market a bit as well.
Yeah. So what else is in the paper today?
So the other thing is, did you know that this Saturday is Oshkosh Gallery Walk?
I did not.
It is. It
That's
is
always
Oshkosh
an exciting
Gallery Walk.
Event.
Yes, it is. But this time it's also the Night Gallery. In the Algoma Art Alley that's over by Jambalaya, mm-hmm. one of my bonus daughter's favorite places. So in there, they are going to have a artist who has never presented her art before. She has never displayed it. There's a word for it. I'm totally drawing
it's
a blank. Exhibit. Yes. She has not exhibited her art. And Samantha Dukas is going to be that new artist. And she has been doing art for years, but has never exhibited. And Amy Brownfield from the Jambalaya and the Arts Association. This is her direct quote on this. Not only is she incredibly talented, but she is also completely unaware of how amazing her art is. So that in itself is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But she will be exhibited there. Oshkosh Gallery Walk will be going on from 6 to 9. So, again, it's going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous weekend. So, again, after the Children's Day Parade,
yes.
you can also do Gallery Walk. Got to catch myself there.
Yeah, still have to do the Children's Day Parade, though.
Absolutely. But Gallery Walk will be back. So there'll be several locations along Main Street and that you'll be able to pop into, see exhibits, you know, have a beverage, have dinner, but absolutely hit out the Algoma Alley Art Alley and check out this brand new in air quotes because she's been doing art for a while, but exhibitor. So,
absolutely. So where can people go to pick up the Oshkosh Herald or to view it online?
So online, we're at oshkoshherald.com. And there's about 40 different pickup places around Oshkosh. But the quickest way to put them is check out your quick trip, BP's, and the grocery stores.
Excellent. Karen, thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Be sure to download the Civic Media app and select WISS for news and information updates for the Fox Valley right to your phone.
You're listening to Valley Focus and Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS Oshkosh and Appleton.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Stephanie Hoff. Along with you, this is the Midwest Farm Report. Today, we're digging into a story that might hit close to home, or at least the kitchen table. Ground beef prices are on the rise. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing walks us through what's causing the price hike.
Well, we just saw some stats over the night that U.S. ground beef to the retail consumer is actually hitting its historic highs this last week. Some of that might be tied to a little bit of tariff play. We did put a 50% tariff on Brazilian imports, and we import a lot of beef from Brazil. That usually goes into trim. So that may be one of the reasons why the hamburger price is going higher. Trim obviously is the ground beef that we see that hits stores and restaurants. So we'll have to really watch that going forward in terms of that cattle market. Just the supplies of cattle are not out there, and that's going to be something that keeps prices elevated.
Historic highs on ground beef, something you may be noticing this summer as you prep burgers for the grill. Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. I've got more farm news on the way.
Join our friends from Wisconsin Farmers Union in Booth 607 and Midwest Farm Report at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Wisconsin Farmers Union is united to grow family agriculture. Visit WisconsinFarmersUnion.com to learn more.
This year's Farm Technology Days is celebrating generations of progress August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit WIFarmTechDays.org for a full schedule of events.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
It was a busy week for Wisconsin farmers with nearly six whole days suitable for field work. Harvest is underway for small grains and hay, while soil moisture remains mostly favorable. Nearly 80% of corn has reached the silking stage. That's 5 days ahead of last year. Corn and soybeans are both holding steady at 81% good to excellent, though that did dip slightly from last week. Soybeans are moving along with more than 80% blooming and more than half setting pods. That's ahead of both last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat harvest is 67% complete, running a bit behind, but potato harvest has just begun, and that crop quality is excellent, 96% rated good to excellent. And on the hay front, second cutting is nearly done, and the third is halfway there. That's according to the latest crop progress and condition report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
It's 64 at our studios.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called Fusion Voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics and Fusion Voting.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome to our weekly homeroom segment where we highlight public education in Wisconsin and the opportunities and especially the threats to it, including the lack of taxpayer transparency when it comes to things like the ongoing voucher school movement in Wisconsin. And today's topic takes me back several years to 2017, particularly when I was helping my friend, then State Representative Dana Walks, in his campaign for governor. And one of the things that he liked to talk about that he thought not enough people were talking about was that need for greater taxpayer transparency on property tax bills. That not enough was being done to let taxpayers know that when they see that line on their property tax bill that says, you know, school district of Chippewa Falls, that not all that money is going to the school district of Chippewa Falls. In fact, a lot of money is skimmed off the top and put into the voucher program, but the taxpayer wouldn't know it. Dana Walks wrote a bill that called for that chunk of money to be, you know, put separately on the property tax bill. Republicans in the legislature year after year said no, that they weren't going to require that through state law. Some folks in Green Bay said, well, maybe we need to make that happen at the local level. And they recently did. And they're here to talk about how you could do that same thing in your hometown and have, again, greater taxpayer transparency. This isn't about whether voucher schools should exist. And this time around, it's not even whether they should get state funding, though I'd argue that they shouldn't. But at the very least, you should know how much of your tax dollars go to that when it's on your property tax bill. So we welcome back to the program our friend Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also happy to be joined by Laura McCoy of the Green Bay School Board and Alyssa Prophet, who's an alder on the Green Bay City Council. Nice to have all of you here. Thank you, Denise, Laura, Alyssa. Good to see you all.
It's nice to be here.
Denise, let us start with you. I know we've talked to you about this previously, but lead us up into what happened in Green Bay. In other words, before we even get to what they did, maybe you can say, you'll say it better than I can. Why is it important to have this kind of transparency on property tax bills?
Well, it's critical for taxpayers to make well-informed decisions on if they support future referendums, but also just to know and understand where their tax dollars are going.
Yeah. And so, again, the state legislature wasn't making this happen. Laura, do you want to pick up the story and talk about how things started to get rolling in Green Bay?
Yes. In the fall of 2023, our school board passed a resolution asking the city council of the various municipalities that fall underneath the Green Bay School District umbrella to please include this this information on their tax bill. We started with Green Bay, which is obviously the largest municipality. We passed the resolution, our board passed it unanimously. It went before the city council the following January, and it got tabled. It didn't pass, and they didn't even take a vote. What happened is that this is where Alyssa comes in. She was elected the following April and brought this back to the city council. The upmake of their city council had changed, and she really pushed hard for this.
Alyssa, why don't you go ahead and take the baton from there to talk about how you got started in this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thankful to know both Denise and Laura, who are great advocates for public education. I also value public education. I have a kindergartner and first grader starting up in about a month here at Green Bay Public School. This was a conversation that I hate to say was easy at the start, right? Because I've yet to talk to a voter who wants less transparency when it comes to where their tax dollars are going. They want more. And in this conversation, like, where do we put it? I believe there's a few pieces of mail that taxpayers will look at and take seriously, and that's likely their W-2 documents if they still receive those via mail, and it's their tax bill, it's their property tax bill. The entirety of the council sees calls go up when it's that time of year, right? So really what I did from there was bring back a communication really for just staff to investigate the feasibility. That's the first step, is really like, can we get our staff who are phenomenal at the city of Green Bay. They're willing to run with a lot of things that the council wants to look into, right? So that was the first step. We thankfully got that through committee level. Our worked legal and finance worked with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, showed examples of where and what we were looking to do. They came back and Wisconsin Department of Revenue was really our end all, or you know, the final say when it comes to the feasibility piece. And they said, yeah, yes, we can do that. And the imaging that was shown was then sent back to council to discuss further. Was an interesting night at council in terms of who spoke in favor and who spoke against. So I can maybe let Laura or Denise speak to that a little further. But thankfully, it did pass. Unfortunately, when a lot of things pass easy in this cycle for us, this one was not. It was a 6-6, and it was broken by the mayor. But it was a pass. So we'll take that.
Well, without a doubt. So once you looked at the feasibility, I'm wondering if part of it too was then the cost. It's one thing to say you want the transparency, but A, you have to go get the numbers, and then B, you have to change the way that you do your property tax bills to put it out there. Was cost any kind of a consideration in this as well, Alyssa?
That was certainly a question from a number of alders as well. And our finance department is the one who creates and does the work there. And then the county is the one who prints the bill. So from a city perspective, our staff said to them, this would be $0 cost. I mean, they said it's work that we're already doing. It's something that if that's what the body wants. It was kind of funny, the discussion, you know, folks were like, well, what else can we add to it? And they're like, yeah, what else do you want to add? I mean, it's printed for the city of Green Bay. Like, yeah, so cost certainly was a factor, but staff was confident in saying that it wouldn't be at any additional cost for us.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. It is sometimes politically convenient when you want costs itemized. I recall being in the legislature and hearing Republicans say, well, there should be a Google. Government should be essentially like a checkbook where you can look line by line at, you know, all the things that cost taxpayers money, which nobody really totally disagrees with, Denise, unless you're looking for obfuscation. And so it's one thing about whether, you know, it's feasible to get the numbers. It's another thing if you can afford to put the numbers on. But it seemed to me, first and foremost, the reason we weren't seeing these numbers on tax bills was that there were too many lawmakers trying to hide the cost of vouchers. And Wisconsin Public Education Network has basically made a cottage industry out of going, oh, we'll get those numbers for you.
Yes, we have. And that's been really important and valuable, because we're finding a lot of legislators and therefore also city council members have no idea what the costs are for the voucher program and also what the costs are on the taxpayers.
Right. And so that's Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. A moment ago, you heard from Alyssa Proffitt on the city of Green Bay City Council. Now back to Laura McCoy on the Green Bay School Board. And again, this whole notion of getting the numbers and providing the transparency, this does not sound like it was a heavy lift for the school district of Green Bay, nor for any other school district. The transparency is something you would naturally want the taxpayer to have, it seems to me.
Yes, and I think that the indicator of the importance, the political importance of this statewide, is who showed up at our city council that night to argue against voucher transparency. I think you might be interested to know that John Gard showed up and Kate Zeiske showed up to argue against this measure.
And remind people who they are.
John Gard used to be in the state legislature, and his wife, Kate Zeiske, used to be the secretary of
revenue, treasurer. I believe, or yeah. And state treasurer. Yeah. So, I mean, they've had leadership positions that were part of a legislature that was not looking to make these costs transparent. And as you just said, they're still arguing against that to this point. Let's carry it then to the next step, and that is other communities around Wisconsin, if they want to do this. And I don't know if the order in which you did it was the way that everybody should do it. Denise, do you want to go with this first, that if somebody just wants to start this from scratch in their particular school district, what are your recommended first steps? And then I'll ask Laura and Alyssa the same question.
Well, you'd want to contact Wisconsin Public Education Network. You can contact one of the regional, you can go to our website, find out information, how to get a hold of us, and we'll gladly have a conversation with you and get you all the background details. In fact, we have a toolkit that we're going to make available to communities that want to take this on. And yes, the first step is the school board. Writing that resolution and asking the city to do this, or the municipality or the township, because that's where it really has to start, is they have the information and they can move forward with it. Yep. So,
and that would be at wisconsinnetwork.org, a great website to learn more about taxpayer transparency. And so, yeah, let's Laura, from a school board standpoint, again, if somebody is looking to get this going, what are your recommendations for first steps they should take?
Well, yes, as Denise said, it starts with that resolution. And since we were able to do this in Green Bay, people have been reaching out to me across the state. In fact, after I'm done here this morning, I'll be calling someone on the eastern part of the state who is very interested in trying this in their community. This issue is heating up. And I was in Milwaukee over the weekend to see Beto O'Rourke at a city hall kind of situation, and got up to speak and tell people about this, you know, what's going on. And I got to tell you that the room, when I told them that next year there might be as much as $800 million taken out of public education for the voucher program, I mean, this is, people are paying attention to this right now. So, you know, if this is important to you, if this is something you want to try to do, start with your school board. But you're also going to need your city officials. You're going to need the support of your community to some degree, as well as potentially your superintendent, maybe some statewide elected officials. In Green Bay, it took a team of people to take it through all the stages, and you know, in the end, that's what it took.
Alyssa, in our final minute here, from a city standpoint, again, whether somebody is hearing who is serving on a city council or is close to people who are, what should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say reach out to Wisconsin Public Education, ask those questions, and you don't have to wait, I would say, from a city perspective, right, for your school board to take something up if this is something that interests you. I think we always hear how education funding is complicated. It is, but sit down, grab a coffee with someone like Denise, get an understanding, because even though you might be from a municipal perspective, you still have that municipality. You can increase some transparency for your township, and everyone should consider doing it. We can't wait for the state to act.
No.
Time is now.
And our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle puts on Facebook, what a team for the taxpayers, what community will be next? And it's true. Oh, wait, did I want to make sure I get that right. I did say .org, right, on mine? Yes, WisconsinNetwork.org.
Yes,
okay, I just saw in the comment section, somebody fixed theirs. And again, just want to make sure it was clear, WisconsinNetwork.org, to learn more. Laura McCoy from the Green Bay School Board, Alyssa Proffitt, a District 7 alder in the city of Green Bay, Denise Gomer-Hutchison from Wisconsin Public Education Network. You guys are taxpayer rock stars indeed. Thank you so very much. Good to see you today.
Nice to be here.
All right. And again, this is something that you can do in your community as well. And I think back to Dana Wachs's original bill. This is a basic thing. The legislature should have done it years and years ago. They didn't, but you can. A local break is next for some of you. Others will catch up with Jimmy Cuska from Civic Media next. You're up north.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy with delicious fair food. Feel grand with Wisconsin's top exhibitors, from quilting to horse shows.
Feel amped with live music at the Bank 5-9 Amphitheater and Main Stage. And if you're feeling gutsy, Spin City is calling your name. It's time to feel good. July 31st to August 10th, only at Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
We dug holes, little foxholes, to jump into and take cover when you heard them coming. But after a few weeks, you didn't worry about it anymore. What was the point? They weren't aiming at you. They just fired the damn things. So if you were going to get hit, you were really going to get hit. That was my attitude, which I realize now was really stupid. But that's just the way it was. I don't know why I did it, but instead of jumping into a hole, I walked around with my camera, hoping to get a great picture. When sappers got into the perimeter, they would have explosive charges and satchel charges on them. A few were suicide attacks with everything strapped to their bodies. They tried to kill as many guys as they could. It seemed like that was their main mission. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at thed8dispensary.com.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 174-year-old Wisconsin State Fair is underway and is a finalist for USA Today's 10 Best list. Could it be the Cream Puffs? Here's Christy Chuckle with the fair.
The Cream Puff was created to showcase the dairy industry in Wisconsin.
The story of Cream Puffs never gets old, and now renovations of the former Cream Puff Pavilion, renamed the Dairy Building, will show off a new kitchen and more.
Watch them being made right there, right before you buy them. That's why they're so delicious.
The bakers known as Team Cream Puff will be able to crank out more than 400,000 during the fair. They're even adding chocolate cream puffs for the first time. And it turns out there's a secret to eating them.
Just twist, open it. It doesn't necessarily squish all over, but some people just like to go for it.
So go for it and enjoy the tasty history of the state fair. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton. Here is Lisa Hale with this morning's Valley Focus.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and joined today, I've got Karen Schneider from the Oshkosh Noon Kiwanis with me. Let's talk a little bit about the Children's Parade. I know you're involved in it, and it's going to be huge in Oshkosh this Saturday.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. I hope so. We have been working on this for months with the Oshkosh Noon Kiwanis. So the Children's Parade stopped in 2013, and we're bringing it back with our service organization. And it starts at 11 o'clock this Saturday. So kids are registering. They're bringing their non-motorized, no motorized vehicles are in this parade, the non-motorized floats. And it's really cool to listen to people about when they were in it, because it ran for 83, 84 years or something like that, to like three generations. So you hear these people talking about it. And I just, I had our final planning meeting at Kiwanis yesterday. And one of the members was talking about someone who had been in it and had dressed up as Kiss. And I understand that their kids may be pulling that second, a repeat on that for the parade and coming as dressed as Kiss members. So, you know, it's very cool. And so it's going to go from Whitman Field down Ohio Street to South Park. So it's a different parade year. So different route, times have changed and so forth. So it's going down Ohio Street, starts at 11 o'clock. Please come and line the streets if your kids aren't in it or your grandkids. Come and just, if you remember what it was used to be, come and cheer them on. Right now, I think we're around 40-ish or so on entrees. Oh my gosh. Entries to, and registrations to be in the parade. And they go from, you know, one to 2 and 5 plus. I think we've got twirlers and everything coming to be in the parade. So I'm really looking forward to it because that's not in my purview. Someone else is handling the registrations. So I'm just getting bits and pieces about what the entries are going to be. So I'm really looking excited to see the imagination and creativity that people put into this. But you can just come down on your bicycle with those little cards flipped to it and, you know, come in and join the fun. Just register. And then once you get to South Park, it's a family day.
Right.
So we have a lot of events going on there as well. All of the kids in the parade will get a goodie bag when they enter South Park. We have a little mongoose bike that kids who participate who want to sign up to win it can put in as well. We're going to have a petting zoo that's going to be there. We have lots of organizations that are coming with kids activities and everything. Have live music with the Mason Street Band.
Nice.
And then the pavilion will be open with cold beverages and food trucks. So we have food trucks there, everything from barbecue to snow cones, folks. So I really hope that you come down and visit with us from 11 to 3 on Saturday for the Children's Day Parade. And we know there's always so much stuff going on.
Yeah, there is.
And whether you come for the parade, which will be from, let's say, 10 to 11, or come down for the events that are going on at the park, or all of it, we welcome you. And we really look forward to seeing the community come out and enjoy bringing back the Children's Day Parade.
You hear a lot of people say things like, there needs to be more stuff for children, you know, what can I do for children? And this is one of those examples of the things that are specifically designed for the kiddos in the area.
Just for the kiddos, absolutely. And I remember watching this too. I never participated, but I have friends who are in their 70s that did, you know, so which is kind of funny, but and they have great memories. But it's about bringing the kids out, letting them be creative, having a day to say, look at me, you know, because everyone gets to participate, and then go to the park and really have some fun. You know, we have Homies Hub coming, and they have a lot of stuff that is going to be set up. The police are coming out at 1 o'clock with their trailer. So there's going to be a lot of things for people to enjoy. Bring your lawn chairs, sit out in the lawn and listen to Mason Street Band because they'll be playing. But it ends at 3 o'clock, so you can come enjoy it. It's going to the weather. Thank you. Is going to be absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
So come out, spend the day with the kiddos and stuff at South Park. Take them home, give them a nap or so, and then take them to the fair at night. So
perfect idea. You know? Yeah, because the fair kicks off Thursday tomorrow. So that's perfect. Do the children's parade, then do the fair. Full weekend.
You know, because we are in Oshkosh, right?
And exactly.
We have 12 weekends to cram a whole year's worth of entertainment in. But I'm really looking forward to this. My group has been working on this for months. And I think we've pulled all the missing strings into that one little handful, and we got this down, and I'm looking forward to seeing the efforts pay off and enjoying seeing the community come out and join us.
Now, the children's parade it took a hiatus for a Correct. Little while. So do you go ahead and you call it the 87th children's parade without the annual after it? Or how are you going to do that?
You know, that's kind of funny. I was wondering about that on the way over because we haven't called it anything except the Children's Day Parade at uh-huh. this point. We'll have to figure that out next year.
Definitely. Definitely.
Next year. And next year, you know, it's like August 1st. So it'll be the first Saturday after EAA because we're at the Whitman Airport. Mm-hmm. So we can't go there during EAA, obviously. Right. And I just asked at the Parks Department when I picked up the keys, like, can I reserve this yet? 365 days. Okay, so I got it. I know to go online right away and reserve that for next year because we are hoping that this is a signature event for the Oshkosh Noon Kiwanis, and it's a fundraiser as well. So we'll be using it to support our programs with the Key Clubs and the Cops and Kids and Cops and Kiwanis and Kids, which are literacy programs where we provide hundreds and hundreds of books throughout the year to the police to hand out. But we also provide gift cards to the police that they can give out to people in need as well. So part of this will be funding that program. And part of it will also fund the newspapers and education through the Oshkosh Herald and our Kids Scoop program too. So although it's a great community event, it's also going to do great things as we support our community with the different programs that we have in place.
I'm so excited that it's back, and I'm so excited about this. And thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I appreciate it.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus, so that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted five more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is ABC News.